from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
I gotta remember how to do this.
I know, it's been a while, Kyle.
You haven't been in studio since like pre-4th of July, right?
I came in Monday that one.
That's right.
When I was sick.
Yep. And then you were out that entire week.
Yeah, but the Monday was weird because I did the first 2 hours and then
that's
you
right.
did from 12 to 4.
So we haven't done a show in studio together since July 2nd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's before the broken finger
right,
event.
The catastrophe that was. Honestly, aside from that, field day was great.
Oh yeah, field day was amazing. It's just
a 3 week old event.
The broken fingers that just kept happening. The surgeries are bad.
No, welcome back not only to the studio but to the United States. You've been down in Cabo.
Mm-hmm.
Eaton in the chatty house, and if you want to participate in the chatty house, hit us up youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. It's Monday, July 21st. James, you are back stateside. You've been in Cabo, and Eaton85 in the chatty house asked, best and worst part of your vacation? I think that's a great way to start the show.
I'll start with the worst part. The worst part was, for those of you who don't know, like the week before I had got sick, right? So I lost my voice. I ended up getting, we didn't discuss on the show, but I ended up getting strep throat, which I don't know how that happened. I 4th of July, I assume. Just around too many people. Mm-hmm. And then at California Classic, all of a sudden, I like got halfway through the game and like couldn't swallow anymore. I'm like, oh, that's not good. Yeah. So, I mean, I couldn't actually like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Anyway, so the worst part was that I was on penicillin forever. Like you have to run like a 10-day course.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you're in Mexico and you already are like worried about things that you're eating, that wasn't great, so
sure.
My stomach was a little odd the whole time. But amazing,
that was the worst part.
Yeah, amazing trip. First of all, shout out to Mrs. Ham. We had an amazing 25th anniversary.
Yeah, so. Congratulations. Quarter century.
Quarter century together, yeah. Actually, more like 28 years together, but quarter century married.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. We had a great time. Our friends like brought decorations and decorated the house we were at. For our anniversary, it was very cool.
That's awesome.
And then the other thing was, we have some friends. Shout out to the Laddies. They have access to this like crazy house in Cabo, and absolute like 6,000 square feet with an infinity pool. But the infinity pool is above the garage, so it's like a second story infinity pool. So we just sat out and had a great time hanging out. We had we brought in some cooks and stuff to actually cook meals for us in the house.
Wow.
So it was a very, very cool couple of days in Cabo.
Yeah, not a bad way to vacation.
Yeah, and you know, I went twice, right? So people, I went to couple, but the first is with the boys and with their friends and with our friends, with their kids and their friends. So like a traveling
like a family
party.
Trip.
Yeah, like a traveling party of like 12, mm-hmm. right? This was totally different. This was like very cool.
Yeah.
No, right. We did like a taco tour of Cabo. Yeah, where a guy took us around and like
Dog,
took us to different spots.
Look, we have been in the same room for a little over an hour now. And you're just now getting to taco tour?
Oh, a taco tour. Yeah, they took this old town, like, there's two, Cabo, and then I can't remember what the other city is, like, but it's part of Cabo, but it's Cabo something else. It's
okay.
Like
San
the old
Lucas?
Town. Yeah, maybe. No,
I don't know.
No,
I have no
I
idea.
So.
Geography is not my strong suit anywhere in the world.
It's an older part, and so they took us around, like, sort of like, they brought us to, like, the tortilla factory where they make tortillas.
Incredible.
And, yeah, so it was good. We had a good time.
So you just bop around to different places. It's like bar hop. It's like a bar crawl.
Yes.
But tacos.
Yeah, it was like a 3-hour tour. And of course, we, you know, many places had drinks. So it's possible
sure,
we were
of
doing
course.
That as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a must. Dude, I've never wanted to do a thing more than I want to do that.
Taco tour.
Like when you've been describing Cabo, it's like, yeah, okay. Like it sounds incredible, but it's like, okay, beachside resort, infinity pool in this house. Like it sounds amazing, but it's like, yeah, okay. That's an like exotic tropical vacation, like super nice. Mm-hmm. Love to see it. But then you hit me with taco tour.
Taco tour.
And now this is all, I don't want to go anywhere else in the world.
Oh.
I want to go to Cabo and I want to do a taco tour.
You know, we have friends.
And just munch tacos.
When we
pause.
When we go to different cities that we have some friends that like to do food tours. Mm-hmm. So like doing a ghost tour or a ghost / food tour in New Orleans is really cool.
Yeah.
We've done food tour in San Francisco where they tell you like there's like 900 and something restaurants. There's enough restaurants on San Francisco, like that little tiny,
yeah,
not very large area. To have breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a different spot every day for 3 years. There's that many food outlets.
That's wild.
Food place in San Francisco.
Some good food in San Francisco, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, oh no, some great food, great food.
I really want, so it depends on who you ask, but Dominique Kren is a French chef who is considered right now by many to be the best chef in the world.
Okay.
And she has a restaurant in San Francisco.
Mm.
And I badly want to go to it, but it is so much money.
Oh yeah, those yeah. We have two doors down. Our neighbor, their daughter, started working at the French Laundry.
Oh my god!
And you know she had to go down and get fitted for her two suits.
Yeah,
yeah. So maybe eventually we'll do the French Laundry. But
one of I don't know. Do you watch the show The Bear?
Yeah.
So when The Bear started, I was watching it, and I, you know, I've watched. Pick a cooking show. I've probably watched it. Like it's my bag. I love it.
Yeah.
And I always went, man, you know what? Maybe I'll just become a chef. I'll just start cooking stuff. Maybe, you know, I have a writing background. Maybe I'll do that. I'll become like a food review.
Oh, a food blogger? Yeah, heck yeah,
yeah,
man.
Maybe I'll just do that. And then I watched The Bear and you see the level of intensity that goes into being an actual like high caliber chef. I'm out. I don't need, oh.
You don't want to ruin somebody's life.
No, like, dude, like the amount of food they just dump out because they didn't plate it specifically the right way.
It wasn't perfect.
Yeah, or like lose the basil, try it again. Like, ugh, I'm out. I don't want to do any of that.
Okay.
It looks like way too much work. I want to come in here and BS about sports.
No, that sounds good to me too.
Way easier.
Yeah, it is way easier.
Yeah. While you were doing that, I was at a Rivercats game on Friday. I got to throw out the first pitch.
I watched the video. I was very proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Didn't throw a strike, to be clear. I don't want to oversell this, but I didn't bounce it.
Mm.
And I knew if I was going to miss, I knew I was going to miss high. A little high, a little outside. Big salute to Brett Auerbach, the infielder who went out to catch the first pitch for me, because apparently it's like hard to find players to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's you don't know whether the person's going to try and throw it as hard as they can and skip it or bounce it or airmail it, or it's just kind of a... So I was really thankful that he came out, and when he walked up and introduced himself, I was like, hey, I'm not going to bounce it, I promise.
Yep.
And so we had gone to a park, my dad and I, right by my house, because there's a mountain there.
You guys had a catch?
Yeah. Just had had to catch with pops for the first time since 2009. And I'm throwing off the mound at this park, and I was like, feeling great. Then you get to a AAA stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And you go to walk up the mound, and it takes a week. It is so much higher than whatever little pile of dirt I was throwing off of by my house.
Oh, that's not good.
And I went from really confident because I believe his name was Bradley. He's part of the Rivercats like promo team. Mm-hmm. I go, hey, is there anywhere I can warm up, like throw like a little? And he goes, I have a glove and ball in my bag. I got you. It's like, let's go. So we're standing right there. Just I probably got half a dozen throws in before security was like, hey, there's too many people around. You can't be doing that. Get out.
Okay.
All good. Got the throws in I needed. I was good to go. It's feeling great. Then I walked up the mound. And the longer it took me to get to the rubber was more and more intimidating. And I get up there. And the PA guy is doing this really nice thing. I'm assuming Charlie wrote it. This really nice thing about the insiders and get all the inside information and I've been in Sacramento and the Bay Area and this and that, blah, blah, blah. It took so long. I was expecting like Kyle Madsen from ESPN 1320, The Insiders, 10 a.m. to noon, Monday through Friday. And it was this like prolonged intro where I'm standing out there just by myself waiting. And I'm kind of like looking around. I know where my family is. So I'm, you know, waving. I'm standing there. And I look over at the camera guy at one point, and camera guy's like, hang on. Oh, that's still going. Hang on. So finally gets to the point. First of all, had to meet them at 6:15.
Okay.
You got to meet the people. The person that I was supposed to meet with did not know I was coming.
Oh.
Had no idea. She's like, who are you? Like, great. Good start.
That's, yeah.
So then it's 20 minutes of, I walk down, I'm standing down there by the field.
Uh-huh.
Met the guy who sang the national anthem, did a great job. He did a great job singing the national anthem. I didn't do a great job meeting him. Met him. We talked about tattoos. And then it was just this, just standing and waiting and waiting and waiting. But ultimately, got up to the mountain. In the back of my head, shout out to Zach Beirutti, the Ports broadcaster, who told me just don't bounce it.
Mm.
People hit me up during the day. Hey, the goal is to not bounce it. Just don't bounce it. So I missed a little high. That's fine. I was a little bit bummed out. It's ball one in my career. I'm behind in the count, one ball and no strikes, which is all good. But ultimately, it was fine. And the funniest part is I went and I talked to Gavin from the wake-up call.
Mm-hmm.
And he had thrown out a first pitch before, and he said it went miserably.
Oh, no.
But he also said that nobody noticed or cared.
Oh, that's good.
And so that was in the back of my mind, like, okay, nobody's actually watching. Like, nobody actually cares. And so I throw this pitch. I go out, I, you know, shake Brett Auerbach's hand, I get a photo, and I go back in. Not one person the entire night said like, hey, bad pitch or good pitch. Literally nobody notices.
Oh.
If I had just had that thought in the back, I would have felt so much better about it. I complained about it I worried about it for 5 days on the radio leading up to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it genuinely turns out that I was the only person that gave a rip.
This is all good, though, because I'm taking this in. You know, mm-hmm. I always talk about this, like, the first time you get to the playoffs as an NBA team, especially teams that play in small markets that don't usually do a bunch of national TV,
mm-hmm.
there's this nervous energy that you have that you're standing up milling around on the court,
mm-hmm.
and then you go up against the Warriors, and they're, like, literally, like, laying back and, like,
right,
chilling on the bench, hanging out during timeouts. Right. Timeouts are all, like, a minute and a half longer. And it just messes the whole flow of the game, and you have mm-hmm. all this nervous energy, and they don't. So you're telling me all the things that I'm thinking about. Like, okay, all right. Kyle says it's gonna be like 20 minutes, so just chill.
Yeah, dude.
And I'll be like, okay, I'll chill. Like,
definitely.
Yeah.
If you're going to, I took my glove
mm-hmm.
because of the weight of throwing is different with and without a glove. So that's why I took a glove with me. It wound up being fine. I had to carry it around with me for the rest of the night, but not a big deal. Yeah, man, it was great. Salute to the Rivercats. Had a great time out at the game. They won.
Nice.
Got to see Robbie Ray make a rehab start. He was outstanding. Chris Bryant was there making a rehab start for the for the Isotopes. So I got to see a little Robbie Ray v. Chris Bryant. The River Cats won. It was great. Had good food, good beer. Yeah, phenomenal time out at Sutter Health Park. Salute to everybody who came out. I appreciate all of you. Okay. We got Olympics. We have an MVP conversation that I want to have with you.
Okay.
And then there was a Twitter conversation happening on King's Twitter last night that I found fascinating, and I would love to rehash that conversation on the radio. So we're going to do all of that. We'll have some NFL preseason predictions from USA Today. Those came out as well. Tons coming up on a Monday. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320. Yeah, it's Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm there, Kyle Madsen here, hanging out with you until noon on this Monday. Got some news from the Olympics this morning. I think this is super interesting. I think it's really, really cool, actually. I love that this is a thing. LeBron James has been selected to be the flag bearer for Team USA at the 2024 Olympics in Paris. So during the opening ceremonies, it'll be LeBron James, of all the accomplished U.S. Olympic athletes, LeBron will be the one holding the flag for the United States. He is the first men's basketball player ever to have this honor. And I think it's really, really cool that the first basketball player, men's basketball player, to ever get to do this is LeBron. I think if you were going to pick somebody in the history of Olympic / NBA basketball who deserves to do something like that, and LeBron even said there's video and Steph Curry announces that to the team that LeBron is going to get to do this, and LeBron even says, like, this isn't even something you dream about. You don't even think about it. And now he gets to do this. And given everything he's done for, just for his community, his various communities that he's played in and been around, and things he's done for, the sport and growing the game of basketball. I think it's really, really cool that he's the one that gets to do this.
I think it's spectacular. Look, there are certain athletes that just transcend, right? Like he is the torchbearer for NBA basketball for the last two decades. And we can talk about impact. We can talk about, like, where he ranks, like, all time and all that stuff. But realistically, he's been the guy. What, 11? He's been to the finals, like, 11 times. Like, everything that he's done is really, really impressive. And so for me, I don't think you could find a better guy to represent. He isn't someone who has had off the court trouble. He isn't somebody who, like, everything that he's done throughout his career, he's lived up to almost every single aspect of that role.
Yep.
And so I think that there are also other deserving athletes for sure, like Katie Ledecky, and like there's some other athletes that deserve
incredible.
Yeah,
for sure.
Simone Biles. Like there are a lot of people that could deserve that honor. But like LeBron is right there. With any of them, like what he's been able to accomplish. And to be part of the Team USA program, again, at age 39, 40.
Yeah.
Like, this is amazing that he's made it this far and that he's going to get one more chance to win a gold medal. And, yeah, so, yeah, I'm all here for it. I think it's cool.
Yeah, like you said, it was not to disparage the other athletes, saying LeBron deserved this. He was the only one.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like you said, there are Katie Ledecky and Simone Biles are definitely the two that come to mind. But I love that LeBron's getting to do this in what will surely be his last Olympics. Although, I mean, at this point,
who knows?
Would you be floored if 43-year-old LeBron James is out there for Team USA in 4 years?
I would hope that he wouldn't do that because at a certain point, you need to hand it off, right?
Yes.
You need to, like, understand that the game needs to grow past you and it needs to keep going. And
I'm under the belief that this is his last one. Same for Steph, probably same for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, there's a couple of them that, I mean, probably same for Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, like, imagine him in four more years. Might not look great.
This is one of our favorite games on this show. Basketball Reference nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on LeBron James Basketball Reference page right now. I'm going to run through these with you. King James.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, check. We all know that one. LBJ.
Yep.
Okay. It's technically Lyndon B. Johnson, but you get why people shorten it.
Lyndon Baines Johnson. Yep.
Yep. Chosen One.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Bron Bron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Little Emperor.
Haven't heard that one.
Have never heard that in my life.
Nope. The Little Emperor.
Maybe it's one of those things. So, like Debo Samuel, one of the things on Debo Samuel's Football Reference page is Sweet Feet.
Oh.
And I went, what?
What?
I have never heard that in my life. I Googled it. It was a nickname that his mom gave him when he was a baby.
Oh, okay.
A baby, a toddler. So maybe the Little Emperor is one of those.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and research it because we're doing this on the fly. The Akron Hammer.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that before.
Yep.
L Train?
No, I haven't heard. I mean, that's Lionel Simmons, but well, that's okay.
And maybe if LeBron had played in Chicago,
uh-huh,
because they have the L there in Chicago. Okay, maybe then that plays. I've never heard that in my life. This one, Benjamin Buckets.
Oh, that's just because he seems to be getting younger, I guess, or he started
like
as
Benjamin
old man.
Button.
Yeah,
that doesn't play though.
No, no, I don't know
because Benjamin Button ages backwards.
Yes.
He's born an old man and then ages through life reversally.
Yep.
In a reverse fashion.
In a reverse
backward.
Fashion.
So that doesn't play. He's not aging backwards. He didn't come into the league and people went, wow, he's 18 years old, but boy, he has a 40-year-old game.
And no, but he may have looked 40 when he was 18. I mean, he looked like a mature man coming into the league.
Okay.
That's funny.
Okay, that's fair, I guess. But it's not like he's looking younger now. No, he's looking older.
No, that's
he's
true.
Aging at a normal.
Well, he isn't as a player. I mean,
there'd have to be Benjamin Button is not the correct comparison.
No,
is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
There has to be like some ageless person.
Yep.
I don't know.
Is King James on there?
Yeah, it's the first one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The very first one. LeBron James turns 40 in December and is still so Team USA almost lost to South Sudan.
Mm.
Which I think is just more a testament to A, South Sudan played great.
Yes.
They were fantastic.
Yeah.
B, the growth of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Just worldwide and what NBA Africa is doing to help grow the sport and develop talent. It's incredible. Love it for them. The thing for me at the end of that game, as we talk about LeBron James, the fact that Team USA needed a bucket and it wasn't a secret. It wasn't a bunch of cuts and screens and, oh man, look at all this talent. They got to guard everybody. It was clear out. LeBron James has it above the left break. He's going to put his shoulder down. He's going to dribble with the left hand and he's going to finish with his right. And there's nothing anybody on South Sudan can do to stop it.
Nope.
Or frankly, I'm not sure there's anyone on any team capable of stopping that specific play.
Nope.
And it is just incredible that I mean, I know we don't, it's not like LeBron is lacking for praise. But I'm watching that and I'm going, okay, man, you got to go to Ant here. This is Anthony Edwards' spot. I think I like Ant in this. Oh, maybe Steph, but Steph had bricked a bunch of threes down the stretch. You got to use him as a decoy in that situation. And nope. Hey, LeBron, ISO above the break. Go. Just get a bucket. Easy work. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is you brought it up right there. Anthony Edwards, there was all this talk that this is Anthony Edwards' team and all this stuff. It's not. It's LeBron James' team still. This is still LeBron James' team. Like, I hope that there's a handoff after this Olympic run where you will have somebody else be the face of Team USA.
Yeah.
But for right now, it's still him. So I really don't want to hear the, it's this player. It's either LeBron or it's Steph. Like they're going to be the deciding factor here. Big shout out to Luol Deng, who I guess has been, he's the president of the South Sudan Basketball Association, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's done a really, really good job of piecing together a team, but also of helping to develop a lot of these players. Also, the NBA has an academy that mm-hmm. has really, really helped a lot of these kids like find their game and all that mm-hmm. stuff. And then we have the kid who's going to be a top prospect playing for them. I think it's Kaman Malash,
mm-hmm.
7'2", 250-pounder that's going to Duke this year, considered a top 10 pick,
man.
Who played considerable minutes in that game. And so, yeah, you're going to... There's a lot going on there, and it's a good thing to see a country like develop and grow in this area, and like give their country something to cheer on. And, yeah, and I mean, they almost took out Team USA 101-100. It took LeBron James finishing to beat you,
and a no call on what I thought was a very obvious foul on South Sudan's last possession. Really, really great game, super entertaining. Yeah. And I want USA to win gold. That's mm-hmm. just, I think
yeah.
that's where most people are. I'm rooting really hard for this team. But on the other hand, I would love it if they get pushed like that.
Mm-hmm.
I that is so much more entertaining than, oh, look, they won by 35. And now I want to see them get pushed, and I think they will. But at the end of the day, you said it, they have Steph, they have LeBron, they have Jason Tatum. Their talent is just so overwhelming that in those spots, it's like really, really tough, I think, for opposing teams to find a stop.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the Olympics. I think like the rest of the world is catching up to Team USA,
mm-hmm.
but it's probably still a couple of years away from actually happening.
Yeah. All right. We'll continue talking Team USA throughout the summer. The Olympics start this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the Olympics start this week. So we will we'll be locked into Team USA men's and women's, of course. But I saw an NBA MVP odds tweet yesterday. It's a graphic with the top odds and Doncic and Gilgeous Alexander and Giannis and Jokic. But I wanted to tie that to the Kings and the potential for the Kings to have an MVP. How likely is it? Who would it be? James and I will lay out that case next on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm not letting something someone said on the internet derail the show. Not doing it.
Oh.
Somebody has a take on the conversation that we're about to have. It's a Denver fan, FYI.
Mm.
They have a take on the conversation that we're about to have, and I hope they're listening.
Oh.
That's all.
Good.
If they're not, which they're probably not, because that's the Twitter thing to do. It's just to respond to the thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then not. Do you know how many things? And I know I guarantee that you deal with this. But you write a thing that has a headline, and then people respond to the headline with just what's in the article.
Oh, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. That's what I just wrote about.
Yeah. I literally just wrote. Or they'll. Someone. You know, like I used at NBC, I would turn in my story.
Uh-huh.
I would have a title on it, and then someone else would change the title.
Of course.
And then I get a phone call, like from like the Kings, like, "Hey, what's up with that? Like, what do you mean?
Like,
did you read the story? Like, well, did you see the title?" And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't see the title. like that's SEO, and
right,
like
yeah.
I've got editors that do that. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah.
And then you go back, and you're like." Oh, okay. That title's a little sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you said, SEO is king, baby. Anyways, well, I'll get to what he said here in a second. But I saw a graphic over the weekend of NBA MVP odds.
Mm.
And it's the usual suspects. It's Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Giannis is up there. It's yep. just those really top end players. Tatum is in the mix. Embiid, yeah. Right now at BetMGM, it's Jokic and Doncic. They're the co-favorites at +375.
Okay.
For reference, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis are tied at +20,000, and DeMar DeRozan is +25,000.
Oh,
those are the Kings' top three.
Okay.
Let me preface this by saying I don't think the Kings are going to have the MVP of the NBA. On their team. But if I told you, James, hey, I'm Kyle from the future. I live in July of 2025. A Sacramento King won the 2024-2025 NBA's Most Valuable Player Award. Who would you think it was?
Well, I think first and foremost, the pathway would have to be that the Kings have a season similar to what Boston had last year. And I don't mean like winning a title. I mean regular season where you finish the Western Conference like 8-10 games above everyone else. You win 63-64 games, something wild, something
yes.
crazy
yep.
that puts you so far into the conversation that it's beyond like you mm-hmm. can't refute it. So I think this is going to be an interesting year because we've kind of been building up to this where a guy like Shai has not been. He's an MVP candidate, but mm-hmm. because his team hadn't taken the necessary steps, you hadn't given it to him it real consideration. And now mm-hmm. he came in second or whatever it was he came in this. I think he was second and he's right there, right? So I think that's where we're going to have him thrown in the mix. Now Luka makes it to the finals. Now Luka is going to be in the mix for mm-hmm. sure. Like Luka's always been a big time candidate, but more of a statistical juggernaut than a true candidate for the MVP.
Can I pause you right there on the Doncic yeah. part of this? I think the general voting area of the media.
Mm-hmm.
I hate saying the media because that's technically us, but the national media that is involved with the voting.
Yep.
And such, I think so badly wants Doncic to win an MVP.
Oh yeah.
It just, they were the 9 seed or whatever, and it's like,
Doncic got a shot.
MVP, like, man, what? What? 9 seed?
No, he doesn't have a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do think that there's a couple of players that are pacing, and then at least one player that I think is falling off. And okay. Like, it doesn't matter what Joel Embiid does statistically. I don't think there's any way he ever gets to 65 games again.
Doesn't feel like it.
And maybe I'm crazy there. Maybe he does, and maybe he's in the running, but I don't know what his team is going to look like. We'll have to see what Paul George and Tyrese Maxey and then the accumulation of talent they have around it. But I do think that, like, the days of Kevin Durant being mentioned as a potential MVP, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at this balancing point where, again, Steph Curry, I don't see him being an MVP again. So we're seeing a couple of players rise. And, mm-hmm. you know, I could see, you know, again, Anthony Edwards getting in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely like Luka. And like I think it's going to be the usual suspects outside of some of the guys that are fading.
Yeah.
But what would it take for the Kings to get into that conversation? It would take an astronomical, like, team success to get you into it. And then, like, we can have a discussion, like, Kyle, who would be your guy with the Kings?
I think it would be... I think I'd go Fox. Because I think if they are going to take that kind of leap where they're winning, like you said, because let's go to this world for a second.
Yeah.
If the Kings are winning and have an MVP candidate, it's because, like you just said, it's not 51-52 wins where we here in Sacramento are like, holy crap, yes. That's not going to move the needle a ton
nationally
to get whoever the candidate would be above all these preseason favorites, right?
Yep.
There is such a massive hill to climb. So now we're talking 61, 62, 63 wins. So a 60-plus win Kings team. I think that is where De'Aaron Fox took a substantial leap, where he's not only healthy for the entire season, but that lull we saw through that portion of last year where we were kind of all looking around like, what's wrong with De'Aaron Fox, never comes.
Mm.
And he's averaging 28 plus a night, and he's averaging 6.5-7 assists a night, and he hits these statistical benchmarks, and he is the clutch player of the year, and he is scoring 40 here and 40 there. And oh, there's a national TV game and he had 38 and 10.
Mm.
I think that's a leap from De'Aaron Fox is where I think the Kings make that leap into a 60 plus win team. So if you're telling me the Kings got there, I think it's because of De'Aaron Fox.
Okay. I'm going to take a different angle because like the last 2 years, Sabonis has finished 7th and 8th in MVP win shares.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you're going to get, like, first of all, I think there's always room for Sabonis to score more, right? Like, and in all honesty, I think adding DeRozan to this team is going to allow Sabonis to certain nights score less, but there will also be a lot more focus on DeRozan, a lot more focus on Fox, and Sabonis will actually have way more opportunity to go one-on-one and score if he chooses to do so. But for me, it's him who has the statistical ability to climb into the race and be there with a guy like Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you look at win shares, if you look at, like, super advanced statistics, Sabonis is, like, second, third in the league in advanced statistics, like, mm-hmm. major, major advanced statistics categories.
Mm-hmm.
And so could I see Sabonis averaging 22, leading the league in rebounds at, like, 13-5, maybe even 14, and then mm-hmm. on top of that, averaging close to 10 assists?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I totally could. And so I think for him, he's the one that can take the statistical leap in the other categories. Because if I'm looking at Fox, and let's say he does get to 20. Now let's say he gets to 30.
I think it needed to be 30. Somebody in the chat said it needed to be 30 and 10. I don't think it needed to be 30 and 10. But I think it would have to be minimum 30 points a game.
Yeah, but I don't think he can get to 10. And that's the problem. Because
I don't think he needs to, though. I think if he averages 30.
Yeah.
On a 30 and let's call it 6.
Mm-hmm.
On a 62-win team?
Yeah.
But go on. Continue about...
No, you might be right. You might be right. But the problem is that he's going to go up against Luka's averaging 34, 10, and 9.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so that's where you're going to run into this buzzsaw that's out there. So if all things are considered, you know, equal, I think that Fox can get into a conversation like Shea did. And he can, you know, drive his team into a conversation, but he does need to find that exact consistency that Shea has brought.
Exactly.
And that's where I think SGA is like, we talked about it, like, what did he scored 31 points like 30 something times this season, which is just like wild. Like, it's just such a crazy stat that, like, where he averages for the season and like the plus and minus off of that number is so close. Like, just it's remarkable. So the consistency is something that I think if Fox were to take that leap into an MVP caliber conversation, it would have to be like every single night he's got 25, but on most nights he's around 30 and he's averaging over 30 or at 30 for the season. So I'm here for it though. Like, I think he can get there. I don't know if he can win an MVP. I would bet against him winning an MVP anytime in the, you know, in his career, but
Shea?
De'Aaron.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's not being disrespectful. I'm just being honest. Like,
yeah,
like,
winning an MVP is hard, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to be very difficult.
Yeah, that, and it's not just how good a player is. I mean, look how good Luka's been, and he still doesn't have one. It would take such a perfect lightning strike of Kings victories plus just outlandish statistical production, and maybe that's where the case for Sabonis is.
Yeah,
maybe it's not 22, 13 and a half and 10, but I could see if he went to, I don't think he would because this isn't his game, but if he started with DeMar DeRozan on the team now, he starts putting up 4 threes a game. And starts averaging 25, 13, and 9 on a 60-plus win team. Like, that leap, I think, is probably easier for him to make, given how consistent he is with his rebounding and with his assist numbers, that if you tack on an extra 3 and a couple extra field goal attempts a night, all of a sudden, his 19 pretty quickly goes to 25.
Yeah.
So, that's, I think, where the leap for Domas would be. I can't draw a path to DeRozan.
No. I mean, not at 35 years old.
No.
I mean, like, he's
not a realistic one anyway.
He's a great scorer, and like, I think that there's a lot of things that you love about him, right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's really tough for a guy to become something he hasn't been throughout his career this late in his career. And so, yeah, like, win shares on the season, Domantas Sabonis finished 4th behind Jokic, Shea, and Giannis. Offensive win shares, he was 5th. Defensive win shares, Domantas Sabonis was number 11 in the league.
Like, I think
all of these advanced statistics put him up there in the conversation, which is why he usually finishes in the top 10 of MVP balloting.
Right.
But that's amazing.
The other issue with this, and this is where, again, this is not necessarily about Sacramento, you would also need the guy we just talked about, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, to either have a really down year or have Oklahoma City be like a 5 seed. And you need to have Anthony Edwards not taking another leap and Minnesota being like a 4 seed.
Yeah, I would
we haven't even mentioned Nikola Jokic, by the way.
Yeah.
Who might just steamroll his way to another one.
Yeah. And I'd also say, like, it wouldn't even be this season. It would be... You don't just have to do it once, you have to do it twice. You know, that's where, you know, sort of Shea is at right now. He's a 2-time All-Star, but he finished 5th in MVP the season before and 2nd this last year. He's pacing to get there, but he's also getting Defensive Player of the Year. He's getting Clutch Player of the Year votes. He's getting first team All-NBA votes, all these things. Like, you would have to have somebody take a leap, like a dramatic leap.
That's the other area I think that could help De'Aaron in making that case, is just flipping that switch into a full-blown, like, nationally known, renowned two-way player.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Where he's at 30 and 6 a night, he's shooting 38% from 3, and he's second-team all-defense.
Yeah.
And it's just known when your team plays the Kings, it's like, man, De'Aaron Fox is going to put clamps on whoever the guard is.
Yeah. I think it's going to be interesting, too, to see how the dynamic changes when you add an elite scorer like DeMar DeRozan. Does it take away from De'Aaron's point totals?
Yeah.
or will it add to the point totals?
Yeah.
I definitely think it's going to be like people are like Keegan Murray for most valuable player, for most improved player. I someone in the chat had put that out there. That's going to be so incredibly difficult because he's now running up against basically three players on his team that are going to average around 70 points a game. So yeah, that's where I like advanced team building really does come into play. It's why I will keep saying I think Keon Ellis as of today might be the best option as your starting shooting guard because he gives you the defense, but he also doesn't demand a bunch of shots, right? It allows Malik Monk to be your first option off the bench, which means he's going to get 12 to 15 shots per game where he's not going to get that with the starting group. You know, so if you're piecing together all of these things, it you need everyone to fit in the puzzle. It can't just be like, hey, like we're going to throw this guy into the starting lineup and see how it works. Like everyone has to have a role. And that's what's going to be very difficult for Keegan. I expect Keegan to ascend as you slowly see DeMar DeRozan descend as far as like, you know, what he is as a player. But that probably won't happen in this year. It might happen the year after that. And then, you know, whether DeMar is there for year three or not, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some interesting stuff that's going on with this team. And it's not just cut and dry. Hey, go get this player and let's see how it goes type stuff.
Yeah, I'm not banking on Keegan Murray becoming more aggressive with this group of players.
Yeah.
Which you can't be a little bit better. Again, you have to get outside of Sacramento. We might watch Keegan on a night-to-night basis and go, wow, what a leap. But statistically, to be most improved, there's going to be somebody who averaged 14 a game last year who averages 22 a night. Somebody's going to take that Kobe White type of leap.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to take that Tyrese Maxey type of leap where Tyrese Maxey was really good and then he goes to great.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what's going to be gross? You know who I think is going to win most improved? Ja. Ja's going to come back.
He'll get comeback player of the year.
Is that an award in the NBA?
Oh, maybe not. I think it is. Oh, maybe it's not. I just assume they have a comeback player of the year.
Who? I have no idea.
You're probably right.
I don't think they do.
Yeah.
But I could just tell, I can see it now. Like, wow, he stayed out of trouble. He averaged 28 a night. Wow, what a player, Ja. We got to give him something.
They do have an award.
Oh,
I think.
Okay, good.
It was awarded from it was only awarded from 1981 and 1986. They don't have it anymore.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. That's funny.
Yeah. I am interested to see what the DeRozan inclusion does for sure, particularly with Malik Monk and how Mike Brown fits all those guys on the floor at one time.
Oh yeah.
And the biggest question for me is not necessarily whether those guys can all play together, because I think they can. There's enough playmaking chops there, and I think there's enough basketball IQ there for them to coexist, particularly offensively. The defensive stuff you can figure out, but particularly on offense, I think they can all fit together. The number one problem that has to be solved when you start talking about closing lineup: De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis. That's the closing five, right? Assuming everybody's healthy, that's the way we're leaning.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be game in and game out. Like, I think that there's a possibility that one of the starters is out and maybe Keon Ellis is, as a starter. Like, you might need to go defensive here and there.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm kind of with you.
The biggest question they have to answer, and this can be figured out throughout the season, but if they're going to be in the playoffs, I think this needs to be hashed out by the postseason, is what's that pecking order look like?
Yeah, I'm kind of here for a no pecking order.
I think you got to have one.
Final 5 minutes.
I think you got to have one.
Well, I still think it's going to be Fox, but then I think it's going to be Fox, DeRozan, and Monk. And I also think that the fact that you don't know what angle it's coming from, and so if a team wants to switch and switch and switch, one of those guys is going to have a mismatch, and that's who you go to. Like, that's what it's going to be. You're going to ride the hot hand. You're going to go to the mismatch, and you're going to attack that. I don't know. I'm here
running,
for it.
Trying to run offense in the final 2 minutes of a close game, though.
Yeah.
Like, dude, get your guy going downhill and go get a bucket.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I thought. That's kind of what I think the Kings' problem was in crunch time last year. Was it was so much like DHO and drive and kick and all this stuff. Like, dude, just give it to De'Aaron Fox. Let him dribble past his guy and let him go score. Whether it's in the mid range, whether he's getting to the cup, just have it's he does it.
Yeah.
That's their most unstoppable play is De'Aaron Fox is too fast for whatever the defense is doing.
I agree, but I think at some point it became predictable. And I think that's where.
So?
Well, yeah, but if it becomes predictable when, but if they stop it, if he goes from shooting 54% in the crud in the clutch to, you know, 44% in the.
What was it before last year?
I mean, the
year
before.
He was the clutch player of the year because everybody in the building knew De'Aaron Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Was going to walk into a three in Chicago, and it didn't matter.
Yeah.
Everybody knew De'Aaron Fox was going to be the guy. To me, he's still the guy. That was the crux of what I was saying.
I think he should still be the guy. And, you know, and again, the fact that him and DeMar DeRozan finished 1 and 2 in fourth quarter scoring,
mm-hmm.
again, that's like dueling banjos. Like, if you
and
don't
know. I think
Monk
was up there too, by the way.
Yeah.
But go on.
If you don't know where they're coming from, what player is going to attack, it's one thing to try to slow something down mm-hmm. in the first mm-hmm. 45 minutes of a game. But that final couple of minutes when it becomes elite one-on-one play.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think the Kings had really, really struggled. And they had this problem that some games they had tried to stay in games for so long that De'Aaron had played too many minutes already.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to give him a break really quick and hope that you can hold on and then bring him right back in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now when you do that, it's like, it's okay.
Sure.
There can be a place where you start the fourth quarter without DeMar DeRozan, without De'Aaron Fox on the court. And then you wait until as long as you can. You can get to the 5 minute mark. You can get to the 6 minute mark. Maybe the 8 minute mark. It just depends on the game before you need to drop in your two dudes to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And that in those minutes, I think Malik Monk can really be an impactful player that helps put you over the top in games that you know maybe that you wouldn't have been in last year.
Yeah.
Again, like the key to the NBA is having as many players on your roster that the opposing team has a game plan for.
Mm-hmm.
If you only have two or three of them on your in your starting yeah. lineup or on the court at one time, that makes you like pretty easy to defend. If mm-hmm. if all of your guys are standing in the corner waiting mm-hmm. for the three ball, okay, like mm-hmm. that's not that dangerous. When you have to start worrying about, you know, who's going to attack us, Luka or Kyrie,
mm-hmm.
and then hey, we still have to make sure that we're not getting beat by PJ Washington or we're not mm-hmm. getting beat by Derek Jones Jr. in the corner, whatever, mm. that's a big deal. But I think for me, this is one of those situations where the more guys that can go for 30 or 40 every single game
sure.
that you have, the more difficult you are to defend and mm-hmm. game plan and everything else. And then having DeMar DeRozan have a completely different skill set than anyone else that you've had on this roster
mm-hmm.
to me is really intriguing as well.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that. I think it's something they have to hash out, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because there can't be, at the end of games, Monk is dribbling and it's like, oh wait, DeMar's supposed to be the guy, or now you've got, maybe it's DeRozan taking the last shot and you have, and maybe I'm way overthinking this, but it's now it's Fox and Monk like, hey, what is this? Like, I'm supposed to be. I think that's something that has to be figured out, because that can really cause a problem where if you're in the final couple of minutes and you have people hesitating on what they're supposed to be doing because, oh, I'm the guy or I'm not the guy.
Yeah.
Like, nah, to me, there has to be, and like you said, it's not that I think in the final 2 or 3 minutes of a game, De'Aaron Fox has to take every single shot.
Yeah.
But I think there has to be an understanding that in those spots, hey, when they're going to just ISO and he's going to go get a bucket, he's going to be the guy to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey, like I think
they have 82 games plus an offseason to figure it out.
So. Yeah, there are going to be games where you get into and you're waiting to see if De'Aaron's just a decoy.
Sure.
But you also, you're going to have games where DeMar's just a decoy
mm-hmm.
and where Malik's just a decoy. You mm-hmm. know, like all of these guys can take over in a game
mm-hmm.
late. And I think what it does do is it takes all the pressure off of Sabonis.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for Sabonis, the pressure is to make sure that you're finding the right guy in the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's like, okay, like who's gonna bring something different tonight? And like again, you can ride the hot hand. somebody has shown it all game long that they got it, then you just keep feeding them and feeding them.
Yeah, if Monk has 50, you're not going to go away from him in the
last game. Yeah, no, totally, totally.
That's a little bit where I kind of wonder if a shot-blocking big would be really valuable, where you could just go those four guys with a big who's defending the rim in the final minutes. Because, look, God love Domas, if you're in a spot where, hey, we need to get a stop and then we need to go get a bucket. It's like, if you're not going to lean on him to be the guy to go get a bucket, then... I think, again, they don't have that player on the roster, so it's got to be Domas.
The way he plays himself into that is to be the guy who is going to rip down the rebound.
Yeah.
To finish a defensive possession.
Yeah.
And so sure. I think that that's where, like, the...
Or create another possession on offense.
Yeah, the brilliance of him is the fact that he literally leads the league in the rebounding 2 years in a row and is so incredibly good on the defensive rebounding side. That's where I think he's going to have tremendous... His passing and his value is going to be rebounding and just finishing possessions in the clutch. Yeah. And on occasion getting a rebound and putting the ball back in.
We'll put back action.
Well, that and, like, look, if there's one thing that DeRozan brings to the table, it's a free throw shooting. Like, he's a knockdown... Him and Monk both are knockdown three-point free throw shooters. And so having those guys in the clutch, hey, maybe there are moments where De'Aaron doesn't have it because he's not hitting his free throws that night, and you go to those guys instead of him, and it changes the dynamic as well.
Or... Maybe Domas can start shooting it from 16 feet.
There it is.
Spreading the floor a little. I don't know. Crazy. No, I've given up. That's my pledge for this year. I've given up asking Domas to do more on offense. That's the thing I'm not worried about anymore.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing. It's just, okay, it's really clear this is the space he's going to live in. He occupies the hell out of that space. But in crunch time, I'm not going to go, hey, why aren't they getting it to Domas? Your second best guy. You got to go to... No, not doing it anymore. That's talking myself in a circle that is never going to end.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
I'm with you.
Thanks. All right. We need to take a break. When we come back, I saw a debate happening on the internet yesterday, and I circled that debate, and I said, we're going to talk about that on the radio tomorrow. So we're going to do that next. Kings fans, I want you to weigh in. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320, and of course in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320. We have a fun Kings debate coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.